to an area that deals with a subject of understanding truth being revealed. This is the thought this morning, truth being revealed. There is an event that's going to take place for every believer. We're going to talk about this event as we get into this portion of Scripture. But it's an event known as the judgment seat of Christ. This event is for the believer, this event that takes place, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is a time that we will look at even more details as we get into this message, but it's a time that we could even hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." This is the period of time that we would stand before God. We're going to look at, as we get in this text, not for our salvation, not for sin, but we're going to look at what it's talking about and why it's given. This is the event that every believer will stand before God. This event is also recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's also recorded in Romans chapter 14. And this will take place. But at this event, truth will be revealed. What is interesting is this. Many times we think in our life we can hide whatever we want to hide and no one's going to find it. No one's going to know. It's never going to be revealed. It's never going to be shown. It's never going to be out there. We can hide everything we want to hide, and we can put on a facade, if we will, in our lives, and we can get through life that way. We can fool a lot of people this morning. Do you know you can fool your spouse? I've read and I've dealt with many individuals throughout my years in ministry, of individuals that said, "I never knew my spouse was that way. We've been married 20 years. We've been married 30 years. We've been married 40 years. I never dreamed they would ever do that type of thing or act that type of way because I've never seen it." And they lived a facade, even with their spouse. There's been many parents that say, "Well, I never dreamed that my kid would ever do those things or act that way because their kid acted and had a facade, pretended a certain thing about themselves, and then the truth was revealed." We can hide it from our parents. We can hide it from our spouses. We can hide it from our pastor. We can hide it from those in our jobs. We can hide it from any individuals, but there is a day coming. There's a day coming where truth about our lives will be revealed before God Almighty. And you know that is more important as we stand before God than even though we stand before man. If you're able to, please stand with me. Just read for 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're just going to read verse 10 through verse 13 this morning. Next week, we'll read verses 13 through 15 and finish this portion of Scripture, this message. But we're going to look at just verse 10 through 13 this morning. "According to the grace of God, which giveth unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Heavenly Father, we love you. And we ask that you would illuminate your scriptures to us this morning. Lord, help us to see what you want us to glean this morning. And help us to apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at these verses 10 through 13, we see that Paul describes the Christian building. He tells us that he laid the foundation, but it's our responsibility to build upon the foundation. It's our duty to build it correctly. Verse 11 makes it very clear. Look at verse 11. We're going to jump around a little bit, but look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that this is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It makes it clear that this is an event that is for the believer only. This is a time that the believer will stand before God. This is to give an account for how we were stewards and what we did with what God has given us. This is for the believer to stand before God. Those that are not in Christ Jesus, those that have never put their faith in Jesus Christ, will not stand at the Bema seat of Christ or the judgment seat of Christ. There's another judgment they will stand before, but they're not going to be standing at this place. This is for the believer. So as we look at this day of truth revealed, I want us to first see it's a day of intimate discovery. It's a day of intimate discovery. The truth is going to be revealed. It's a day that we are the intimate discovery to really see who we are and see what is done in our lives. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid down the foundation, another buildeth therein, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Paul tells us how we built on the foundation which Christ established. That foundation is Jesus Christ. How we built upon that foundation is what is going to be under the microscope, is what's going to be examined, what's going to be revealed. The idea of this verse is this: when the Lord saved your soul, he placed you on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since that very moment you were saved, you've been building a life. This life can either be a thing of glory to the Lord, or it can be a thing of disgrace before the Lord. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll answer for how we built our lives. Let me give just a little teaching. It will probably help us understand this. Paul was addressing them because in every city during that time, they had what they called the Bema, or the judgment seat. All right, this is a platform that was raised usually in the center of the town. And at this Bema, at this judgment seat that was in every town, it would have been in Corinth as well, it was a raised platform, and that announcements were made from that. It rendered commendations. It remitted handouts, it gave awards. This is the same place where those in the Olympics would have been given their awards. There was also times where they were given judgment in this. So this was something that everyone understood and knew of that time. It was this place, this Bema seat, this judgment time, that there was someone that would come on the platform and give out these orders. So they knew what he was talking about when he was talking about what was going to take place and what was going to happen. Now, there's two issues that will not be addressed at the judgment seat of Christ. First is salvation, all right? Salvation is already taken care of. The judgment seat of Christ is not dealing with salvation. This is for the believer. Salvation is what? Is when we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're at the judgment seat of Christ, this is not an issue that's going to be dealt with, because salvation's already dealt with. Those that aren't in Christ will be dealt with at another judgment, but this judgment seat is for those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This is not going to be, as some people say, you die and you go and you stand before God, or even St. Peter, some will say, and they look at your good works, they look at your things and say, this is not what is taking place. This is for those in Christ Jesus. This is the foundation that was laid. It's also not, the judgment seat of Christ is not a place that sin is going to be dealt with. All right, sin was taken care of already at Calvary. With the shedding of blood, there is remission or forgiveness of sin. We are not going to give an account of our sin at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm glad, right? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad I don't have to give an account of my sin. And yes, I'm a sinner just like you. We've all sinned in this room, even after salvation. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. We've all have sinned. All right? But our sin has been covered. Our sin has been removed. Our sin has been forgiven already by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be dealt with at this point. And I praise God for that. We have to shout hallelujah for that, that we don't have to do anything at this point for our sin. We already put our faith in Jesus Christ, and our sin has been forgiven. So what will be dealt with in this matter is in the way which we have lived our earthly life. We're not going to give account for our sin, but it would be about how we use the responsibilities, the privileges, the opportunities we're given by the Lord. We will be given the answer, if you will, for how we were stewards of what God has given us. A steward is to be found faithful. And God has given us as believers and made us stewards, and we ought to be stewards of all that God's given us. And this is what he's talking about that we're going to give an answer with, is how we live for Christ, how we built upon the foundation, how we built upon our salvation. We're not saved by our works, but our works prove our salvation. And we are to understand that we take that foundation, we're to build upon it correctly, and we're continuing to build upon our lives and live our lives pleasing in God's sight and be wise stewards of what God's given us. We're to be a wise steward. God has given us a 24-hour day. He's given us money. He has blessed us with gifts and abilities to use for his glory. He has given us opportunities for service and for ministry. Our master, the Lord Jesus, has entrusted us with his business, and it requires that each of us be the stewards that we ought to be stewards of God, and that we be found faithful. Now, as we look at this idea of truth revealed, this idea of the truth being revealed and being shown out there and truly who we are in the intimate areas that we are and the intimate discoveries of ourselves, we see that as we build upon this, we are to do it in the right way. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. We're to use what God has given us, but he says there's a difference in our method and in our material. Because some people are acting as they're building upon the foundation, but they're not being stewards, true stewards, of what God has given. This is what we're going to give an answer for. I want us to see this. You see, the first things that they mention are that which is valuable. The first things that are mentioned are that which is precious, that which is beautiful, that which is hard to come by. But then the second list mentions things that are temporary, ugly, cheap, and easy to come by. There's a difference between those lists. And then it says it's going to be tested by fire. Some of those things are going to stand up. Some of those things aren't going to stand up. Some of the things are going to be purified. Some of the things are going to burn to the ground. The other day I was driving around out of town here, even towards the Melba area and towards that area, driving around town. And there was a bale of hay on fire. And the farmer was burning that. And so I was like, why would the farmer burn a bale of hay? I mean, you see the bale of hay, it's big, it's huge, it's that. I mean, that's something to stand, you think is valuable, is important in that. So I asked some people around, why would a farmer, and they said because of the weather and because certain things, they got mildew in it, and it got certain things in it. And so what they do is they burn it, and because they don't want to get their cows or their animals or different things sick with it, so they burn it. And I tell you, I saw them light it, and then a few minutes later, I was driving back by it again. It was gone. It was gone in a quick matter of time. There wasn't much time. There was some smoke still coming from that area, but most of it was gone. And I tell you, there's a lot of things in our lives that we are doing, but we're not doing it the right way with the right methods and the way to please God, that's going to burn like wood, hay, and stubble. This is why Paul is telling the church of Corinth, I want you to understand that you're going to stand before God, truth is going to be revealed, and you got to realize you're going to give account for what you did for God, and make sure what you're doing for God is for God and not for yourselves. We are in a state, in a society today, where believers are building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. They're saved, but they're using their own material to build upon the foundation. Now, I'm going to use a little kid's story about three little pigs. We understand the story of three little pigs. We understand some of the material that two of the pigs used. And when the big bad wolf came and blew, what happened to the houses? It collapsed. But the house that was built right, what happened when the big bad wolf came? It stood. We're living in a society where, yes, salvation's in Jesus Christ. Yes, there's no other foundation. Yes, he has to be foundation. We find it in him and him alone. That's where we build upon. But we are doing things the wrong way today. As we would be examined at the judgment seat of Christ, we realize that all our things we're doing is wood, hay, and stubble. Because we're doing it to please man instead of pleasing God. As we look at this, as we look at these things, we're doing it to please God instead of please man. You see, I ought to do what I do for God and for God alone. I ought not to do things so I can lift myself up or I can make myself look good. That's wood, hay, and stubble. Those things don't matter. It's not to get that pat on the back. It's not to get those things. It is to lift up the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. People are serving in church today. People are living the Christian life today because they want to make themselves look good. Wait a second. You can make yourself look good and still not hear those words, well done, that good and faithful servant. Do you know you can teach a Sunday school class and still not hear those words, well done, that good and faithful servant? You can be a deacon in the church. You can do this in the church. You can do that in the church and still not hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. All your things are wood, hay, and stubble, and they burn because we're not doing it for the right reason, the right method. The right purpose. We're using the wrong material. We're using the wrong methods. We're to use the right material, the right methods. But you know, some aren't building anything. I tell you, yes, there's an issue with those using the wrong material. But sometimes we look in and say, at least they're doing something. Because there's a lot of believers today that have the foundation, but they're not building anything. Now, we're supposed to be having the precious stones and the golds and the things and building the right way and pleasing God with all we're doing. But in our life today, in our society today, there's going to be many who stand before God. And yes, we don't give an account of our salvation. We don't give account of our sin, but we stand before God and we give account. And there's awards that are going to be given as we look at later on next week. And we're not going to get those awards. We're not going to hear those words because we're not building for God. The foundation's there, but we're not adding to it. Let me give some ideas. Anyone drive around town lately? see some houses being built. You've seen some apartments that are being built, and you think, how long does it take to build what they're building? And they started to build, yet it's not finished. Oh, they have the foundation. They have the foundation built. They even started building some walls. But it's sitting that way for a long period of time. And then the weather came, and there's no roof on some of those buildings. And there's some things. And what happened? The rain came, the snow came, and the things came, and they sat in the houses. Wait a second. They're standing there, not complete, not building, not doing what it's supposed to be doing. There are so many believers today that aren't building. They're either building with the wrong methods or the wrong things, or they're not building at all. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Let's hit it a little bit this morning. You see, there's a lot of people that are just going through Christian life trying to just make it. And they're not being stewards of what God's given them. You know, we are told certain things that we ought to be doing. And we ought to be building upon that foundation. I want to look at a few of those. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. In verse number 10. As we build upon our foundation, one of the things as believers, we're to glorify God in all we do. But God tells us how we ought to be treating one another. This has to do with building our foundation, living the Christian life. This has to do with where the rubber meets the stone. I'm supposed to be a steward of what God has given me. I stand before God. I'm going to give account of what I'm using, what God has given me. But look at verse 10. I want you to see this. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which he has showed towards his name, and that he has ministered to the saints and do minister. Do you know what we ought to be doing? Living for God? I want us to understand this. What we have to do to live for God? What does it mean to live for God? What does it mean to glorify God? What does it mean to build a foundation? To build upon the foundation. What does it mean? It has to do with how we treat others. What does it say? It says, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saint, and do minister. How we treat one another shows that we love God and that we're living for God. I want us to see this. God has given you the capability and the ability to love one another and to help one another do the ministry. We build upon the foundation by how we treat one another. Now, I want us to see this morning. Believers are some of the meanest people to other believers. I just want to be truthful this morning. I've heard so many times that people say they wish they never worked for a believer. They rather work for an unsaved person because the unsaved person treated them better than the believer treated them. There's a problem with that, because if I'm living for God and I'm building upon the foundation that God has given me, and I'm a wise steward of what God has given me, I'm going to treat one another as God has treated me, and I'm going to show that love to them to encourage them to do the work of the ministry. Let me ask you and myself the same question this morning. How do we treat one another? You know what we do? We backbite. We gossip. We complain. We get upset with this person and that person. We don't want to see that person. We don't want to act. Wait a second. We're supposed to love. Well, you don't understand that person. The Bible says love even those that have done harm against you. The Bible says even love your enemy. How we treat, we're supposed to love. to show that love and build on. God has given us, are we going to be faithful in the love department of loving one another? It's how we treat one another. Go ahead and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Building the right foundations, I mean, we listen to those that God has put over us to help us grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means we submit and we surrender and we want to grow in our Christian life. We are to be faithful in being obedient to what God wants us to do. Are you wise stewards? Of what? Am I a wise steward of the authority that's over us and listening? Some of us, we're rebels by nature in more ways than one, all right? If someone tells you something, what do you do? What do we do most of the time? We put our fist up before we even hear what they're saying, right? We're already going against what they did before we even hear what they're going to say. How many of you have ever done that before? You don't have to admit it. But how many of us have done that before, even before the pastor or a Sunday school teacher teaches? Because we know what portion of scripture they're going to, and we're going, I don't want to hear what they're going to say. And there's no way, I tell you, I'm going to fight this tooth and nail because this is not right. Wait a second. We are the wise stewards, build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're to grow, and we grow by those that God has put over us so we can learn and be taught and further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to build upon that right foundation. We're to listen. You know, many times we get upset with what the preacher says or what this person says. No, we need to say, God, thank you for sending that individual. God, thank you for giving that individual to teach me and correct me and show me where I've gone wrong. To build upon that right foundation, we're going to give an account for what we've done with what God has given us. I think we take too lightly the local church today. I want to tell you, I believe the Bible teaches that there's the local church. It's a called out assembly. Now, we can disagree this morning about when the church was actually started. We can disagree with all the different other things we want to disagree with. But I want to tell you, there's no way you can get around that God established the local church and the purpose of the local church. It was a called out assembly that they met weekly and even daily that they met. And they came together. And they came together to edify, to build up, to exhort one another. But we underestimate. And we downplay the importance of the local church. That's why the Bible tells us not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. We're to assemble. We're not to forsake it. We're to understand the importance of it. But we are living in a society today where we have this philosophy among believers that we don't need the local church. Do you know there's only two times that the word church in the Bible is not ecclesia, the called out assembly? Every time the word church is used, except twice, it's ecclesia, a called out assembly. That means we're to come together. We're to edify and help. You see, we build upon the right foundation by understanding where we need to get taught, understanding what we need to be taught, understanding and taking it the right way and using it for God's honor and God's glory. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look with me in verse number 4. And then drop down to verse 11 as well. Now, are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. But all these worketh at one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. What is this talking about? For building upon the right foundations, whatever gifts, whatever ability God gives us, we use it for the glory of God. There's many gifts. There's one Spirit. And that means we unify together, using our gifts together to glorify God. We build upon the right on the foundation of Jesus Christ by taking and being stewards and using what God has given us. God has given every believer in this room a gift or an ability. You and I have some gifts and abilities. Some have more gifts. Some have more abilities than others. I have no gifts or abilities. You know that. You hear it every week. But some of you have some more gifts. You have some more abilities. We have those gifts. We have those abilities. But what are we doing with them? What we do is this. We come and we take our abilities, gifts, and we sit on them. And we're not using them for God's glory. We're not being wise stewards. We're not building upon it. We're not using it daily in this world and daily in our lives. We're not using it for His honor and glory. We're not using what God's given us. There are too many church warmers, bench warmers today in churches. There's too many church warmers. You know what a bench warmer is? It's the one that somehow made the team. You're not sure how they made the team. Maybe they knew somebody on the team or a coach on the team. You know what I'm talking about. And they dress up and they look like the rest of the team. But they never leave the bench. They sit on the bench the whole time. Their uniform never needs wash because it never had an ounce of sweat on it. They never got a grass stain on it because they never even left the bench to go onto the field. And I believe there's many believers today that aren't building upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, building it the right way with the right methods, and because they're not even getting involved, they're sitting on a bench letting someone else do all the work. You see, a faithful steward is going to be involved in serving God and living for God with the right methods and the right motives. But they're going to get involved. They're not going to just warm a seat. They're going to be doing what God has called them to do. They're going to find ways to serve. They're going to find ways to get involved and be helpful for the cause of the ministry. They're not going to hinder the ministry. They're going to help the ministry. And what has happened in our day and age especially, there is such a lack of commitment in our churches and among believers today. I was talking to a pastor friend. His church, most of the youngest people in his church are somewhere around the 75-80 mark. He's getting some younger people in, and he goes, I'm glad we're finally getting some younger people, but he says, I'll take the 75 and 80-year-olds over some of the younger people coming in because those older people have a commitment and dedication where the young people don't. And what is happening in our society today, not just in the church walls, but in a society today as a whole, there's a lack of commitment and dedication to things. But let's take it not just from this world. Let's take it right here at home base. Let's take it right here to our own lives, myself included. And let's look and see, are we stewards of what God has given us? Are we using what God has given us, our abilities? I believe many individuals in this room, and I look at myself just as much as anyone else, I don't believe we are as committed as we used to be in our Christian life. And I believe if we would stand before God today, we would not hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because we have not used what God has given us for His glory. I believe we have allowed different things to get in the way. I believe we allowed our kids. I believe we allowed families. I believe we allowed work. I believe we allowed so many things to get in our way of really using what God has given us. we can blame this and we can blame that and we can say this and we can say that, but the bottom line is this: we lack that commitment to use what God has given us, and we're not wise stewards of those things. Another area. Now you see why I broke this up. Next week we'll finish the other points here, but go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know another area? It shows if we're building the right building blocks on the right foundation. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 6 and verse 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I know churches all talk about money, those money-grubbing churches, and they talk about money. Do you know it has nothing really to do with money at all? It has to do with your heart. It has to do with my heart. You see, to build the right foundation, we have the right foundation, to build upon the right foundation and to build right and be a wise steward, it has to do with our heart. Because it doesn't have to do with how much you give. This is what the scripture's saying. It doesn't have to do with how much you give. It has to do with, one, giving, two, how you give. Now, I hope I don't step on too many toes this morning. But we're probably going to step on a couple toes right here. Because I believe there are many believers, maybe not just in this room, maybe watching, maybe others in other churches, because this church is perfect, I understand, except you have an imperfect pastor. If it wasn't for him, you'd be perfect. But there are many believers that aren't biblically giving. This is the truth of the matter. And we're not going to hear, well done. We're not, because God has entrusted you, God has entrusted me with certain financial things. And we are to give back to God what is His. We understand and we can debate, what is a tithe and is it 10%? Is that just Old Testament teaching? Is that in the New Testament? Is there that or that? We can debate all that you want to debate it. But the truth of the matter is this: we are to give to God. We're to give to Him financially. The first week of the first day of the week, we're to give of the first fruits of what we have. We're to give that to God. And we're to give it cheerfully, not grudgingly, not because we have to, but because I have the privilege to be able to do it. Do you know there's people that haven't given for weeks, years? Wait a second. Well, that's the unsaved. No, I'm talking believers. That's my money. That's God's money He's entrusted you with. I can't afford to give. You can't afford not to give. Again, it has nothing to do with the amount. It has to do with our heart. Because if I'm building upon the right foundation of Jesus Christ, and I want to make sure that what I'm building is the gold and precious stones and the right things, it's not going to burn, it's going to test the fires, and it's going to go through that, I'm going to give how God wants me to give. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to seek His face. And I'm going to be faithful in my giving. So I'm a wise steward of what God's given me. There's another area. As we keep this thought in mind. Go to Psalms chapter 90. Verse 12. 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Bible also tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. You know another area that we need to be faithful in regards to our time. Number our days, use the time that God has given you. Well, Pastor, you don't realize how busy of a life I have. I don't even have time to sleep. I got too much going on in my life. Do you know what? We have time for what we want to have time for. Can I just be honest with you this morning? And I trust that you understand what I'm saying in regards to that, but let me tell you this. Too many times, we say we don't have time. We have as much time as we want to have for the things of God. But we fill our time with things that really don't matter. It's the wood, hay, and stubble that we're filling our times with. It's the things that don't matter. Do you know, in a 24-hour period of time, most individuals, not all, only work 8 hours a day. Now, I know some work 10, some work more, I understand that. But on average, it's an 8-hour day that most individuals work. Okay, we have 24 hours in a day. Now, I know some of you believe you need 12 hours of sleep a day. You don't need 12 hours of sleep a day, all right? 8 hours a day we work. That leaves us 16 hours to use that time how God wants us to use it. Well, I got to take little Joey to here, and I got to do this, and I got to help with this, and I got to be involved in this, and I got to do this and this and that. We make ourselves busy with stuff that's not important. And I understand, and we're all busy. But if I'm too busy for God, there's a problem in my life. My priorities are all messed up. If I'm too tired, if I'm too, and I know there's times. I'm not saying on once in a while this. I'm saying this is a regular basis. This is something that's constant. But if I'm too tired to come to church all the time, there's a problem. I need to change my schedule. If I can't get involved in being involved in serving in the church because I don't have the time to do it, there's a problem. Now, understand you can't do everything. I understand that there's times that you're sick. I understand there's times that you just had an exhausting day. I understand all that. But on a whole, the problem is this. We have said we don't have time for God because I'm too tired, I'm too this, I'm too that, and we're not involved, we're not serving, we're not faithful, we're not doing those things. We have time for all we want. We can do our hobbies. Some people take a long time eating food. Do you know you don't have to take 2 hours to eat? You can eat a lot quicker than that, all right? But the idea is this. We have time for what we want time for. But are we building on that foundation with the stones and the precious stones and those things? Are we building the right way? I understand sometimes our work is a lot. I understand we have a lot going on. But we got to give time to God. Because I believe there's many individuals that will stand before God and not hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," because we're not wise stewards of the time that God has given us. We're to number the days. We're to use the days. We're to use that time for the glory of God. Let's look at a couple other areas. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering for this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. other verses, 2 Corinthians 4:17, Matthew 5:11. There's other verses. We need to look at suffering and persecution as a privilege. If I'm building upon the right foundations, I'm not going to get my feelings hurt. If I'm building the right stones upon the right foundation and I'm doing the right things, I'm not going to let things deter me from keep on keeping on. I know myself, and I know many in this room have been hurt before. We've had people stab us in the back before. We've had things happen. We've had those things. Wait a second. You've had people persecute you. You've had people suffer you. You had this. But guess what? It's how we handle the suffering. It's how we handle the persecution. It's how we handle those that have hurt us. It's how we handle that if we're building the right way and building the right walls and building the right things. It's how we handle that. Wood, hay, and stubble mean I get bitter. Wood, hay, and stubble means I don't forgive. Wood, hay, and stubble means this and that. And I'm not going to be found faithful. It's how we take it and what we do with it that matters. Go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 12. And some of you could even quote this verse for us. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also compass about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then verse 2, looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. How we run the race that God has chosen us. God has saved you. You're on the starting line. You're to build upon the foundation that you have in Christ Jesus. But let's just wrap this all up and bring this all together. And next week we'll move into the next verses. We didn't get as far as I wanted, but that's all right. Is how are we running the race? Are we faithful? Many of us have extra weights on us while we're trying to run. And that weight is dragging us down. And we're not going to be found faithful. The race gets hard. Last week, Friday, I was able to help with Eli's junior high track meet. And I got to do the time. And they have an iPad for the time. And you use an app, and it gives there, and you look the line, you hit this, and then you have to go through and scroll and put that line on everyone's chest area and get the exact time and down to the exact second in that. And I was able to do that. And I tell you, they run some long races. I tell you, some of them I thought they were never going to end, those poor kids. When they came through, they look exhausted. They look like they're ready to die. One group of those individuals, this is just my sense of humor. I told them, I said, the time clock messed up. You got to run it again. You should have saw their faces. It was glorious. I mean, oh, I was so sad about that. But it didn't mess up. But as we look at this, it gets hard sometimes. I remember there was one kid way beyond the rest of them. And the kids started just to walk. But then there was those in the crowd started encouraging and shouting, other teammates shouting. Also, when that person got energy and started to take off again and finished. And finished strong. Do you know there's many believers, we aren't building right today. And start today. Choosing to start building the right way upon the foundation that God has established and laid. You can and I can start today living that. We can look back in the past and we can be sorry for the past, but guess what? You can start afresh today. You don't have to put wood, hay, and stubble anymore. You don't have to worry about that you haven't done it. You can start and I can start today of building upon the foundation that the Lord has given us. And one day we can still hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, because we've taken the rest of the time that God has given us and we're going to use it for his honor and his glory in our lives. You haven't used your time in the past, right? Start using the time today for the glory of God. You haven't used your finances in the right way? Start using them today for the glory of God. You haven't used your abilities and gifts in the past? Start using those today for the glory of God. Start doing it today and keep on keeping on. So one day, as we stand before God, we will hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I trust that's your prayer. That's my prayer. That's not that I'm perfect. Not that I'm not going to have struggles. Because every one of us will. But we keep on keeping on. And even when there's times we start to walk, let's encourage one another. Come on, keep going! And get that fire back in our lives. And finish faithfully what God has called us. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word.